Welcome to Focus on Southeast, a monthly program on issues and events impacting the campus of Southeast Missouri State University. I'm Dan Woods, General Manager of KRCU Public Radio. We're talking today with Southeast President Carlos Vargas, and we're going to be doing our year-in-review program, looking back at 2016 and the events impacting the campus. Dr. Vargas, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dan. It's good to be here again.
So before we dive into our year-in-review, I want to get your comments on a couple of items, and then we'll do a complete look back at 2016 in the limited time that we have. As you know, there was an attack on the campus of The Ohio State University recently. 11 people were injured, and the attacker was killed by an Ohio State police officer. What kind of plans does Southeast have in place if something like that, God forbid, were to happen on our campus?
Well, the university actually has developed and in practice on multiple occasions emergency preparedness plan, and this has been done since the 1990s. We have a number of different actions that we have taken to address the potential events such as the one that you described at Ohio State. For example, in new faculty and staff orientations, training modules are introduced which outline our emergency preparedness plans and procedures, and anybody actually can see those training modules via the Moodle website at the university. So we certainly urge all faculty, staff, and students to review those modules. The key to pre-event planning is one of our priorities. What we do is we encourage people to take the ALICE training. The ALICE is an acronym that stands for Alert, Lockdown, Inform, Counter, and Evacuate. It's a way to remind you of the kinds of actions that you need to take. This interactive course provides participants with the tools that they need to decide their best survival options during a violent encounter, and such as an active shooter incident. So sessions for the ALICE training can actually be scheduled through training and development or by contacting directly DPS, the Department of Public Safety. We also have emergency plans and guidelines to assist with coping with most campus emergencies, including events such as active shooter, terrorism events, fire, natural disasters, severe weather, earthquakes, and so on. So we're trying to address every contingency. The campus has held building evacuation drills and has established an emergency operations center. We call it the EOC. And that center has all the necessary equipment to communicate with external world, including satellite telephones in the event of landlines and cell phones that are not working. Our university police and the Department of Public Safety is fully staffed by licensed professional police officers, and is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's important for our listeners and our viewers to know. DPS operates three shifts and make sure that there's coverage for the whole 24-hour day every 7 days a week. So we go through a number of these sections. We also have tabletop exercises. They're called tabletop exercises because you create a sort of mock scenarios, testing our processes and the response that our individuals give to those examples and those exercises. So we review our plan also regularly and hold debriefing sessions to improve our readiness. We incorporate into those actions information that comes from new developments, for example, the Ohio State case. So that just gives us an opportunity to review our plan and see whether we are prepared or not to address those situations like that. So, and then, of course, we have communication channels that we have put in place. We use text messaging on a regular basis when that's needed. We have network messaging. We can send messages to university computers directly almost instantly. We have in our university homepage and the website, we have urgent alerts windows that pop up. My Southeast is the campus portal that can be accessed by all students, faculty, and staff. So that's the place where they can do it. We have outdoor warning and siren systems. We have indoor emergency announcement systems also, and direct ring red phones were in each floor of every academic building on campus. There is a telephone that is a direct ring emergency phone to contact directly DPS in case of an emergency. So, you know, it is very difficult to predict these events, as the Ohio State case has shown, but we're increasingly developing programs that allow us to respond to them as effectively as possible.
Let's talk about the budget a little bit. As you know, Missouri will have a new governor in 2017, Eric Greitens. So let's first talk about what the state budget looks like right now, and then what do we think or do we know with the new governor, how the education, higher education budget will look like in 2017?
According to state officials, the year-to-date tax collections have actually increased, but they're doing so at a slower rate than they had hoped. So, and while Governor Nixon has already made a number of budget restrictions and to adjust for projected shortfalls, experts anticipate that others may be needed. So, it's the state of affairs with respect to the budget is not very clear. It's a little bit early to speculate what funding for higher education will look like in the coming fiscal year. We have certainly appreciated the leadership of Governor Nixon in working with us, with all the institutions of higher education across the state to fund higher education and to do so at in a way that it makes it affordable and accessible to all in Missouri. And so we really at this point are looking forward to working closely with Governor Greitens and his office and also with the legislature. Both House and Senate leadership, and in the months ahead to figure out how we can best handle this coming year and the situation that, you know, Missouri is experiencing. There's a lot of work being done right now to try to improve the economy at all levels. I go frequently to St. Louis and participate in meetings of the Chamber of Commerce, the Hawthorne Foundation, and where the conversation is how can we improve the outlook for the economy in the state, how can we promote development of new jobs, and higher education does play a role in that in terms of offering the kind of talent that is needed for attracting industries not only from around the U.S. but also from around the world.
Well, I want to spend the rest of our time talking about the year in review, looking back at 2016, and we have many, many items we can cover, and we'll just talk about as many as we have time for. I'd like to first ask you about the debate team. They had a pretty successful year in 2016.
Yes, they were very successful. We're very pleased. It just confirms that we have students that are of the highest caliber. They actually won the 2016 National Championship of the National Education Debate Association's National Debate Tournament, March 11 to 12, hosted by Fullerton College. It's, again, great recognition of our students and our faculty who work very closely with them to try to make sure that we put them in the best position to be successful.
And let's talk about, for the first time in two decades, I guess, we have a new sorority on campus.
That is also worth mentioning. You know, the Greek community on campus is very active. We're very happy with the fact that it's actually growing. And at this point, we have a significant number of students at the university are part of the Greek life. So Alpha Phi is the new sorority that it has come to the campus, and we're very pleased to welcome them here.
And in 2016, your inauguration was held earlier this year. That was a big event for the entire campus and the community to celebrate.
That was an exciting opportunity that, as I mentioned at the time, in my view, was an opportunity to really highlight and celebrate the achievements of the university over the years. So it was a time that we took to reflect on what this institution has become and what it can become in the future, too.
Let's talk a little about the Cape College Center, and there was some movement in that area in 2016 as well.
Yes, the Cape College Center, we actually signed renewed a memorandum of understanding extending the operating agreement for that center. We're working very closely and very well with the Three Rivers College and also with Mineral Area Community College and the Career and Technology Center, which is of course a place where the center is located. We're very excited. We are putting in renewed emphasis in marketing the center to make sure that people know about it, and we're continue to work out the details that have to do with running a smooth operation there to make sure that our business processes are transparent to the students that are interested in coming in, because we have a number of different organizations actually be part or associated to the center, and we don't want the students to feel that that's a complicated issue and that they don't understand what's going on. So we're trying to make it as transparent to them as possible, and so we're promoting it. We're developing a marketing strategy. We're actually investing money already in doing that. And at the same time, we're working out the details. Just earlier this week, I met with a large group of people, the registrars and the admissions officers and the advising staff from every one of the institutions to make sure that we work out all the details with respect to that. But that's a very nice and welcome development.
I want to talk about your trip to Cuba. And why you went, and what were the outcomes of that trip?
Well, the trip to Cuba was an interesting one. I actually went because the governor, Governor Nixon, actually led a trade mission to Cuba. And I felt, and the Governor Nixon's staff also felt, that the presence from a president from one of the universities would be a good, important addition to it. So we had meetings with a number of different sort of officials from the government. My objective was, of course, to explore the opportunities for collaboration at the higher education level with institutions there. That worked very well. I think that we have a clear indication that at least at the time they were very interested in really developing these connections with us. I must say also that apparently in 2004 thereabouts, the university actually had started to explore connections with universities or institutions in Cuba, but due to political changes, those conversations stopped. So now we're starting them again. Of course, we need to see what the future now holds, considering that, well, there's a new recent development of Castro actually passing away, and then we need to wait and see with the new president, the presidential administration, to see what direction it's going to take to explore those potential exchanges.
Yeah, because Raul Castro has said he's going to step down in 2018, I think I heard. So there could be a lot of changes coming in the next few years.
That's probably an accurate statement, that there will be many changes. And I'm hoping that in the end it's going to be something positive for everybody.
Let's talk sports. I know you're a big sports fan. So let's talk about 2016 in sports. And our baseball team did really well.
They did really well. They won that's third overall OVC tournament, back-to-back wins over Jacksonville State. And this is the third OVC tournament championship in the program's history. So that's in Southeast had actually won the title in 1998 and 2002. Our coach, Andy Sawyers, who is new, and you may remember that Steve Bisser was our coach and left to join Mizzou. Coach Sawyers is being very well received. I'm very pleased with him. He is, seems to be really connecting extremely well with the players, with the community, and so we're excited to see what the future brings. Of course, they're going to be playing in a new completely refurbished field, and I'm very, very happy about that. The players are excited. The players are very happy, and I think the community too. There's a lot of energy around that.
Yeah. And there was a new athletic director named this year as well.
Right, Brady Barkey, which I believe we mentioned in one of our recent conversations. Brady is doing very well. I think he's shown that he's ready to take this challenge, and he's developing the proper relationships with the coaches and with the community. I keep working with him closely to make sure that we pay due attention to athletics and the support of the athletic program.
We talked about this several months ago during one of our conversations, but the Bachelor of Science in Geographic Information Science. And if I remember correctly, we talked about this off mic as well, because you were educating me on the potential of this and using data very effectively. You might speak to that in just a few moments.
Sure. I think that this is a technology that has become increasingly popular. It's used in many fields. Certainly marketing is one of them. But we're actually in higher education are starting to use it for new and novel ways of displaying data and using that to help us identify patterns that may be otherwise difficult to determine. So we're happy that we're going to be able to produce graduates with expertise in this field and their application to a number of different disciplines and areas. We at the university are using it increasingly in order to help us improve our recruitment strategies, but also to help us understand the performance of our students and those areas in which we actually can do better, and how we can communicate with our partners, either community colleges or high schools, to make sure that we enhance the chances of the students to be successful when they get here. So we're really, really pleased with that, and we're developing expertise in the university to make sure that we take maximum advantage of this technology.
A lot of potential there.
Yes, very much so.
Mm-hmm. Before we go to break, let's talk a little bit about the phase one of the Greek Village housing project. So phase one is complete, and we're moving on soon to, I guess, phase two.
Yes, that's right. It sounds like not long ago we were talking about that first phase being almost completed. Now it is completed, and so we have two houses that are completely finished and they're actually occupied, and now we're going to have the two new houses. They're scheduled to be occupied in the fall, this coming fall semester in 2017. So certainly the Greek community is active on campus. As I said before, it's exciting that there's such a level of activity. And I believe that the Greeks can play a very important role in terms of promoting pride in the institution and developing more of a sense of a community at in the university.
So a few more things we'd like to talk about. And again, there were so many things we could have highlighted, but we have limited time, of course. So we next want to talk about the Edvolution Center. And there's some big news to go along with that you might want to share with our viewers.
Well, yes. To be honest, when I first came to the university, I found out about some of the innovative ideas that the university has been engaged in. And one of them had to do with this program called Edvolution, which is really an exciting way in which teachers are being prepared now to incorporate technology into the curriculum, so that when they go out to the schools, they are best prepared to optimize the learning of the students. That has been a wonderful experience. We continue to be, and I say we, really I should say explicitly that it's a faculty in the College of Education and the Dean of Education who have been leading that, therefore Dr. Diana Rogers Atkinson. They are clearly seen as leaders in this field in the state, and actually what has just recently been made aware of is the fact that Dean Rogers Atkinson has been invited to the White House with a small number of other individuals. They are looking at innovation, and the White House identified the program that she is leading as one of the ones they wanted to highlight. So she's been going to be going there probably, I believe it's in the 12th to 13th or so of December, to make a presentation on the program and the way that we are have incorporated technology into the curriculum. And that's a recognition that is absolutely wonderful news. And as I said, I give kudos to Dean Rogers Atkinson and the faculty in the department who have embraced this innovation and curriculum completely.
Let's talk about the Center for Speech and Hearing, which is being relocated out of the building we actually record in. So there's construction going on near us, so that's an impressive thing for them to be able to move this new facility.
Yes, this is another exciting facility. As you know, Growl has been in some ways the workhorse for teaching, been one of the important buildings on campus where there's a lot of teaching going on, and it really is in need of a renovation and improvements and extra space. So with funding that we got from the state, not completely but partially, we were able to actually build next to Growl in the parking lot area a center for speech and hearing. So the Center for Speech and Hearing, which is the one that provides services to the community, will now be located there. So now Growl will be essentially left just for the academic part of the program. It will allow us also to bring all of the faculty in the English department, for example, to Growl, something that is not so far. They've been actually spread throughout the campus in different buildings. And so not only are we going to be able to do that, we're going to be creating some spaces and improving the teaching areas. And also those of you who know the Growl will recognize that the third floor of Growl doesn't actually historically has not had restrooms. And so now we're incorporating restrooms into the third floor, which is very important for students with disabilities. So overall, we're excited about the fact that this new speech and hearing center is going to be new, operating in the spring, and that that Growl also will have some extra space to be able to operate and offer classes and have faculty offices.
Lots of exciting things, and again, we just skimmed the surface on 2016. Dr. Vargas, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much.
Focus on Southeast is a collaboration between KRCU Public Radio and the Department of Mass Media at Southeast Missouri State University, and portions of these conversations will be broadcast on KRCU and are also available as a podcast. I'm Dan Woods. Thanks for tuning in, and join us next time for Focus on Southeast.